Let me give you some wonderful Welsh facts before we look at God's word. Wales has 3 million inhabitants. It has 11 million sheep. It has 600 castles and castle ruins. And we also have 8,000 churches in Wales. And one of the first things I noticed when I started driving, and I still am, driving from Cardiff to Clydach, was the number of church buildings and churches in Clydach itself and the surrounding areas. And that's because there is a rich history of Christianity in Wales. And there have been a number of times throughout Wales's history where large groups of people have had their lives turned upside down. Whole communities have given up their old ways of living and started living for Jesus. They were known as great revivals. And there are two in particular, 1904 and 1859. And many churches were built in those times just to accommodate how many people wanted to come to church. Before that, maybe 1,400 years before that, there was a man called David or Dewi. And he was a renowned preacher and teacher who lived in 500 AD. And he's got a magnificent cathedral named after him in Pembrokeshire and a pretty average shopping centre named after him in Cardiff. And we celebrate St. David's Day, don't we? We did on Friday. And of course, we looked at William Morgan. And it's something that Bishop William Morgan did that I want to use as a springboard for our message this morning. William Morgan, of course, translated the Bible into Welsh. And I don't know what you think of the Bible this morning. You may relate it to your childhood and the stories you will have heard, David and Goliath and Noah's Ark and Joseph and his coat of many colours and Daniel and the lion's den. You may have heard these stories in Sunday school or school assemblies. And you may have just thought of them as stories which teach children to be brave or to be kind or to look after animals, maybe. You may think these are myths or fairy tales. You may think they're just moral stories to tell you how to be a good person. You may believe the Bible is just a rule book to control how you live, or that the Bible is an instruction manual, or a self-improvement plan, or a search engine to help you find the answer to your tough questions. But those aren't actually what this book is actually about. So what is it about? There must be a reason why millions of people read it every day. A book that is not only the best-selling book of all time, but also the most shoplifted book of all time. It's a book that's illegal to own in over 50 countries. So what is it about this book? Well, when William Morgan translated the Bible into Cymraeg, he put a quote from the Bible on the very first page. And it should be on the screen here. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Or as how he would have said it, "Aether aros di yn y pethau addysgaist, ac ymddiriedwyd i ti amdanynt, gan wybod gan bwy y dysgaist, ac i ti er yn fachgen, wybod yr ysgrwth yr lan, yr hyn sydd abel i thneithyr di yn doeth i achadwriaeth trwy ffydd sydd yn Nghrist Iesu." I've been practicing that all week. But it's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. A man called Paul, a pastor and a missionary, is writing to a young man called Timothy. And he's encouraging Timothy to keep going and reminds him of how Timothy's mother and his grandmother raised him from childhood, teaching him from the Bible. Now, they weren't teaching him fairy tales. They weren't teaching him myths. They weren't teaching young Timothy how to be a good and polite little boy. And I want to highlight three words that Paul uses here, which shows us exactly what the Bible teaches. And the first of these is salvation. That is a longer word than we are usually used to seeing, but it's a word for being saved. When you're being saved, you're being saved from something, aren't you? Whether that's a dangerous animal or a precarious situation or even death itself. In 2009, you may remember a plane made an emergency landing on the Hudson River in New York after birds flew into the fan blades and caused the engines to fail. And Captain Chesley Sullenberger, also known as Sully, expertly piloted the plane to crash land onto the river, and all 155 passengers and flight crew were saved, weren't they? He was the savior in that situation. He provided salvation for the people. Or remember in 2016, do you remember this situation, if you can see, where there was a group of young footballers and their coaches who became trapped in a cave in Thailand when there was a storm which caused flooding to block the exit. And a group of Navy SEALs and highly trained divers made the journey to this remote part of the country, and eventually they were able to rescue the whole team. And for the passengers of that flight there and the team in Thailand, that was their salvation. They were going to starve or they were going to drown without the help of without someone coming to help them, weren't they? Now the Bible tells us we need to be saved. Maybe you don't feel like you do need to be saved. Maybe you feel as if you're doing all right, you're doing okay in life, and things are going fine. But there is something in your life which leaves you in a far more precarious situation than a plane in free fall or being trapped in a cave. And that is sin. Sin is the way the Bible describes breaking God's law. Now, God is perfect in every way. And you look around at the world and you think, that's certainly not perfect. There's corruption and there's war and there's greed and there's sickness and there's discrimination and there's poverty and there's human rights violations. But the problem isn't just out there, is it? We know that there is something within each and every one of us. We're not innocent, angelic babies who get corrupted by the world. Each and every one of us is born with an entitlement that we are always right and that everything should be ours. And anyone who gets in our way will suffer our wrath. And that's human nature. It's what the Bible calls sinful nature. So that is what you need saving from. That's what I needed saving from. And the Bible tells us the result of a life of sin is death. It's hell itself. Scary, isn't it? But there's another word that we find in this verse. And that is faith. You see it there at the bottom. Here's the amazing thing. The Bible doesn't just tell you bad news and tell you about the sorry state of your condition. Yes, we have this diagnosis of this terminal illness inside us called sin. But it also tells us that there is a cure. It tells us that the cure is faith. The Bible talking about faith is not crossing your fingers, closing your eyes and wishing, just wishing that one day everything will turn out right in the end. No, it's more like the faith that a child has when they jump from a climbing frame and they know that their mummy or their daddy is going to catch them. But maybe you've got trust issues. Maybe that comparison gives you even more questions. What if the parent takes their eye away from the child? What if the child jumps too quickly? Which leads to our third point. What our faith is in, or should I say, who our faith is in. Tim Keller was an American pastor and an author who died last year. This is what he said. If you're falling off a cliff, strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. You see, salvation is not based on the strength of your faith, but on the object of your faith. So who is the trust of the Christian in? Well, the faith of the Christian is in Christ Jesus. You may have the weakest, the smallest faith in the whole world. That's not the thing that matters. The thing that matters is the person who you have put your trust in. And if your trust is in Jesus, then you are safe. Jesus is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Those are huge statements to make, aren't they? But Jesus is saying, I am the only one who can bring you life. In 2 Timothy, in this letter that this verse is taken from earlier on, Paul says, For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So a mediator is like a bridge, someone who goes between. And that is what sinners like us need in order to reach a perfect God. For God himself to come between us. And the way Jesus gave us life was through dying. The way Jesus gave us life was through dying. Jesus didn't have the sinful nature that you and I have. He was perfect in every way. But in his great love, was willing to die so that we could know God. When Jesus died, something amazing happened. The death of Jesus is the great exchange. All that I am, I give to you. And all that I have, I share with you. We say, don't we? Or we hear at weddings. And that's what Jesus said at the cross. Jesus took all the bad things about us and gave us all the good things about him. He took our sin and gave us his perfection. He took the punishment that I deserve and suffered in my place. He was rejected by the Father so that we might be accepted. And Jesus died so that we might live. And you know what? Jesus rose from the grave, showing that everyone who follows him will one day do the very same. That's why the Bible is not an instruction manual or a bunch of stories. It's all about Jesus. From beginning to end, it's about how we as people can only find true happiness, true satisfaction, true meaning, true joy, true understanding. We can't find it anywhere else, only in him. And that's why William Morgan thought it was so important that everyone in Wales got to hear this news. And that's why he wanted to share this verse in particular. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Remember then that the only way to find salvation from the sin that is in your life is not through being a good person. It's not based on how many times you've been to church. It's not based on whether you're a better person than your neighbors or your colleagues. It's not based on whether you're a supportive friend or family member. It's not on whether you've stood up for what is just and what is right, whether you've contributed positively to society. Not that these things are bad things, but they can't save you. The only thing that can save you is faith in Christ Jesus. And knowing him not only saves you from death, but brings you peace and joy and strength and comfort and fulfillment. You're born into a new family. You can now call God Father, and you can call everyone here brothers and sisters. And of course, there's the hope that you will one day be with him forever, and that death will no longer be something that needs to be feared.